This episode of The Horror Show is brought to you by Michigan Arachnids. Does that sound like a weird name? It's because it is. It's also because this guy sells arachnids in Michigan. He has a website. I believe it's MichiganArachnids.com. He breeds spiders. This is not a paid plug, by the way. He is a Patreon sponsor. He listens to the show. I've talked to him personally because I saw his email on Patreon and I was like, are you kidding me? So I looked it up and did all the research myself. He did not ask for a plug or anything. So thank you, Michigan Arachnids, for sponsoring the show. That is fantastic. Guys, this week, episode 3 of Serial Killer. This is a tough one, but we have a call from Paul on it, so enjoy.
Okay, I stopped paying attention in class. I was thinking about the adventures of Ash, about the misfortune of sending kids to Crystal Lake. Became addicted straight away with the initial tape. God bless Betamax. VHS, holy like Amanda Kruger. I was introduced to genre flicks by Toby Hooper. I started craving more just like Larry the Looter. I collected VHS without commentary or bloopers. Store computers, magazines, a bunch of stores. Spent my money on movies and begged my mom for more. I'd watch the boys kill those Astro bastards 5 times a day or even more. I loved the gore. Lionel and Paquita combined their lonely hearts. I was hellbound, Cenobites tore my soul apart. I've seen them all, from Dracula to Vertigo. Listen up, welcome to the Horror Show with Sean and Joe.
The profits are beginning to shrink. Jason was once a guaranteed moneymaker, but with box offices dwindling, panic is starting to sink in. The next 3 movies will mark a true death of a Hollywood franchise. The studio will start grasping at straws for gimmicks to include into this series. But maybe, just maybe, injecting a little new blood into a sinking ship before this all goes straight to hell will work. From Bloody Disgusting and The Horror Show, this is Serial Killer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Horror Show. A show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
This is it, brother. We're at the end of the road.
It's not. We have another week.
3 more fucking movies. But the profit margin is shrinking.
Good.
And these are the Kane Hodder era movies.
They are.
He's the first guy to play them back to back and to back. Mm-hmm. Although the last one is whatever. Kane Hodder, noted juggalo. Fago the 13th.
Stop it.
That was from Tom Tom. Thank you, Tom. I laughed so fucking hard.
I mean, it's almost as bad as the Tom Tom joke.
So we're doing 7, 8, and 9. We're coming off the heels of 4, 5, and 6, obviously. I don't think I've... Previously, we did 4, 5, and 6.
I was just going to say, coming into the show at this part, but what did we talk about last week?
So as we said last week, 4, 5, and 6, starting off pretty strong.
Steady decline.
But not like I guess 6. I wouldn't say 6 was an abysmal drop off.
I would.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty bad, but I mean, what we're about to see is...
Oh, it gets worse.
Fucking...
Yeah, no.
Like a crazy decline in quality and storytelling and just about everything.
Just everything.
And this is one of Paul's favorite movies. I think after we finish 7, we'll plug in the call. We already called them. We'll plug in the call after.
Yeah, and as we find out, he claims this is his favorite and then listed about 6 others ahead of it.
And then you're like, "What? So what are your other favorites?" And he was like, 1, 4, whatever. Not listing.
All of them but 2.
Directed by John Carl Bouchler, produced by Ian Patterson. Release date, May 13th, 1988. Budget, $2.8 million. Box office, $19.1 million. And 5.3 on IMDb, 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, that's honestly way too high. The 5.3?
5.3 is actually insane.
That's way too high.
The guy that directed this claimed that the MPAA raped his movie, his words.
Settle down.
That's what I thought. He looks in the camera and says it so aggressively. I was like, this guy is fucking out of his mind. You don't know how long it's been since the last film. Mm-hmm. It's an indeterminate amount of time. It's been at least 10 years, though.
Yeah.
It's at least 10 years. This movie is your typical late 80s Dream Warriors-esque.
Yep.
What year did Dream Warriors come out? I'm going to look it up right now.
The first one was what, 84?
Dream Warriors came out
87?
Yeah, 87. Good job. Man, it's so funny how many of these fucking movies Friday cranked out in
I know.
Such a short amount of fucking time. We're on 7 in 88. That's fucking nuts, man. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They did not give a shit. They did not give a shit. All right. So, I guess before we go into part 7 here, any thoughts on these three that we're about to do? Kane plays all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. Fucking hated it. I hate the way he was portrayed. I hate the way he moved. I hate the way he behaved.
As we discussed, I am not a fan.
Seven.
This one starts with a narrator. You asked me, like, there's one where it lasts forever. It's this one. There's a straight-up narrator.
Yes, there's a narrator. There's the beginning a fucking narrator. So 7 is your 80s, teens are fucking fighting back. And we have, they were like, this was Carrie meets Jason. Well, who asked to fucking see that?
Nobody.
That's what they kept saying in the fucking documentary. They were like, it's like Carrie. No one wanted to see that. Okay. No one fucking asked for that. And it's not Carrie. It's not even fucking Carrie. So I don't give a shit. Why does she have telekinetic powers?
I don't know. I hate it.
And then after this is
the
80.
End is the single most dumb thing I've ever seen.
Oh, hands perhaps down. Ever. Hands down. And then the next year, they do Manhattan.
I do like the title. Jason Takes Manhattan is a great title.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Did you hear New York?
What was that Muppets movie?
Muppets Take Manhattan.
Manhattan?
Yeah.
So, why are they swooping that?
Wait, which is the Jason one with the Muppet Man?
What?
Oh no! There's at the end of part 7. There's a guy from the fire department shows up, and clearly just borrowed the wrong size fire gear because his fire coat goes down to his fucking ankles and it looks like there's a Muppet Man walking around.
I did not notice that.
Okay. So part 7, that then he goes to Manhattan.
Yes.
And then goes to hell, which is,
it's not even a movie.
It's like doesn't it remind you of like a Cinemax fucking movie? Like it's shot. It's fucking shitty.
It's like, honestly, like Sharknado level.
It's so fucking bad.
Without man. Any of the
it's
humor.
It's so fucking bad. But anyway, we're here at 7. Tina has, she's our main character. She has telekinetic powers.
We have a flashback. She's
kills her dad.
Thank you.
Just her dad, because her dad abuses her mom, yeah. Tina goes out on a boat and the dad's like, get back here. And she collapses.
She says, I hope you die. And then she gets mad, collapses the dock, and he dies. Crushing. And then she's very upset.
And then she's very upset. So upset that when she's older, she'll try to resurrect her dad.
Yeah.
And resurrects Jason with telekinetic powers.
Yeah. And it's, I mean.
That makes.
I.
honestly, the balls should just be like, yeah, this is happening.
It's like, true.
There's no...
It's fucking true. It's no, fucking...
Like, explanation.
It's fucking asinine. Like, you watch the other ones and you're like, really? He was brought back to life with electricity? Pale. Pale in comparison to him being raised from the dead by somebody's brain waves.
Yeah. It's honestly insane.
So Tina's going back to Camp Crystal Lake because her doctor's... why is it open? Why is anything available?
Also, why were they living on Camp Crystal Lake? Why would you want to go back? You clearly know what's been happening.
So the concept is, and it's very vague, so don't, this isn't like you, I don't think, whatever. People would have been like, yeah, this is what it was. The reason is because the doctor is trying to channel that, her emotions, mm-hmm. on purpose. He's trying to make her upset on purpose.
Yeah.
To make her act out.
Bernie. From Weekend at Bernie's.
It's Bernie?
Yeah.
Good for him. A speaking role. Yeah, so he's bringing her out there to do that.
Mm.
It's a terrible fucking plan.
It most definitely is.
And also, I don't know why this mom even thinks for a second this is a good plan or what the purpose is. Or why is she even need, like, she would just be on medication to deal with the death of her father that she caused.
Which honestly happened over a decade ago.
Correct. Well, Tina tries to resurrect her dad, resurrects Jason. Why would her dad be in there anyway?
In the water?
Yeah.
You mean, like, why wouldn't somebody pull him out of the rubbish? Because as we discussed in the end of part six, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep. And unlike the other Jason, like, unlike the other characters in this movie, you know, when people die underwater, they usually go in and retrieve the body.
Like, hypothetically speaking, imagine, like, your dad drowned in a lake. And then the people are just like, yeah.
It's, oh, he's dead.
He's there now.
He's part of the lake now.
The more we can do it.
A lake that still has a camp on it that people swim in. Might even be the town's water supply, really.
That's very possible.
You fucking kidding me with this? Paul's favorite movie, everyone. Anyway, this is fucking exhausting. We see some campers celebrating a birthday. They're our first victims. Jason's just getting fucking weapons from, I don't even know where. This is the one where he's got the big giant stick with a fucking giant blade at the end. That is not a tool.
It's not a tool.
It's just a fucking weapon.
And it must be so heavy to carry around.
Oh, are you talking about the blade or are you talking about the weed whacker?
Oh, I was talking about the blade one.
The first thing is the fucking weed, yes. Or the blade.
Yes.
Then is the weed whacker, right. Which even Kane Hodder in the documentary was like, I've never seen that in my fucking life. It's a weed whacker, but instead of, you know, things that can't kill people, it's a giant circular saw blade on a weed whacker. Maybe they're made for like super heavy brush.
They're not real. Motorized buzzsaw. Get the fuck out of here.
Handheld. So you don't even have to go near people to kill them. Yeah. It's fucking insane. Also, Tina can also, not only is she telekinetic, she can also see what Jason sees. She can go into his brain and see his thoughts or see the future or combination.
Yeah.
It's fucking exhausting. Anyway, more campers get got. Dan gets fucking.
There is a good. Well, I'm skipping around, but there's a good kill in this.
The sleeping bag?
Yes.
That's actually what's next. Yeah. Because Tina sees Jason kill the first two campers. Then we get more campers, and Jason punches a hole through one of them. It's pretty cool. But then he takes the girl in a sleeping bag and fucking. Just picks her up and swings her at a fucking tree.
And it makes such a thud.
It's one of the most brutal things you've ever seen. With, really without is. Any gore, it manages to be one of the, and that's sort of, again, where Jason is kind of awesome.
Yes.
That, I like, agree. And I mean, that's even still a little bit out of Jason's wheelhouse. He wasn't really that big or as jacked as Kane Hodder is in this one. But it's still awesome. It's an awesome kill. He picks up the sleeping bag and just fucking...
Yeah.
It's the hardest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It's honestly like stomach churning. Again, no gore. It's just like the noise that it makes.
Oh,
like,
it's sickening, man. It's fucking brutal. Blunt force trauma. That girl's fucking dead. Yeah. Yeah.
I would put that in my top 10 kills for sure.
For sure. Oh, absolutely.
Probably top 5.
And, you know... Where do we, I don't want to go as long as the last one, but these movies are something else. So Tina and the doctor finally are coming to a head, which doesn't really honestly take that long. They're out there for about 15 minutes and Tina's like, this fucking sucks. It's fucking crazy. And she manages to do, some telekinetic shit, including throw a television at this guy's fucking head. Fucking insane.
You think they got that from Dream Warriors?
Dream Warriors was before. Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
TV scene.
Yeah.
Welcome to primetime.
Welcome to primetime, bitch. But they decide they'll leave in the morning. If they make it to morning. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, they don't. two kids go out skinny dipping, and Jason is just having a fucking field day. Again, though, he's super animated. He's really fast.
Yeah.
I'm not personally a fan of it.
You know how I feel. We've already talked about
it. Yeah. But it's just weird to watch. Yeah. Oh, he uppercuts this kid with a fucking axe. He's got an axe. And instead of just theatrics, man, he loves it. He just loves splitting heads open. And then somehow, by the way, this was two kids skinny dipping. Girls in the water. He does that to the guy on land. And then somehow sneaks up next to the girl in the water.
What is the movie that we... Oh, was it Mangler? Where they're in a pool and that guy manages to get in the pool and sneak up behind them and sneak out?
Yes. It's fucking insane. Oh, wait. No, it was not Mangler. It's Spring Break.
Mutilator.
That's it. Oh, I'm surprised I was able to pull that. I have the worst fucking memory, dude. That was fucking crazy. Yeah, but I do remember that. He gets into the pool. It's so loud. It's so hard to get into water.
It would have to be the biggest pool ever for them not to notice.
You're in a lake. Oh, my God. Such a fucking nightmare. It's so fucking crazy. So Tina's mom realizes the doctor isn't here to help her. Go figure. Bring her back to the site where her dad was... fucking murdered by her was not a good idea. Not a good idea. He just wanted her to lose her mind. So Tina, hearing all this, even though her mom's like, we're leaving, is like, I'm gonna run away. So Tina runs away. And as she's driving, she sees, I don't know, Jason killing someone. I think it's something that's already happened. It's one of the previous murders, I believe. But she sees it. I don't know why. Another barn scene. Another girl in a barn.
Yeah.
Jason gets her off screen with a sickle slash.
That he does.
Two kids fucking in a van. They get got. Because the gentleman, of course, goes to check out on a noise. Gets his skull fucking crushed.
The nudity's getting less, you notice? Do you feel that way?
Less nudity and less gore, in my opinion. All these scenes are mostly off screen.
Yeah.
And they cut as soon as the kill happens. It's really weird. Jason and is Jason's movements are almost like a coked out level of speed. Like, looked like he had a couple tootskis.
A fucking tootski.
He took a couple tootskis in Willimantic and ran down to Camp Crystal Lake. The girl in the van, she takes a party horn to the eye. Which probably wouldn't kill you.
It would not. It would fucking blur your vision for a bit.
and everyone is fucking. And we're, these are the same houses, by the way. It's clearly like the Jarvis house again and stuff. Everyone's fucking everyone everywhere. That house must fucking stink. It's been covered in blood and cum since the 50s.
Nobody's, how is that even being maintained?
Well, right. Like, imagine the guy cleaning that place up must be like, wow, this sucks. There's jizz and blood everywhere. Gross. Fucking nightmare. Used condom. They definitely didn't use condoms. Anyway, Jason's in the house. The kills are so lackluster in this, too. This movie is really just the beginning of the end for this series for me, man. These next three are just abysmal.
Yep.
Tina senses her mom's in the woods.
I like the emphasis on that.
It's so fucking insane, man. Like, Tina's like, huh, mommy? And then, like, sees her mom running through the woods. Like, what is happening? What?
I do not enjoy this one bit.
Jason throws a girl through a window. There's a kid who is opening presents, including a personal penis enlarger, which is a microscope. Oh, that's funny. And Jason is moving around. Jason is in the house killing kids. And then next we see him, he's out in the woods with the mom and the doctor.
Yeah. With a bunch of tools.
With a ton of murder weapons. And the doctor sacrifices the mom.
The mom. He's like, uses a human shield. He's such an asshole. Tina was honestly devastated. My wife, Tina, not the character.
Yeah. Jason has the most obscure weapons I've ever seen.
Can I just interrupt for a second and say that my wife made us watch Rampage, the Rock movie, and I've never seen anyone more concerned for the monkey. That is not a real thing. It was just fucking electronic.
<It's> enormous. Jason gets the doctor with the hardcore weed whacker, steel-eating weed whacker.
Yeah.
Kills the doctor pretty good with that. But again, like, it kind of cuts as soon as he... You think it's going to be this amazing kill, and then it fucking cuts, and you don't get it. Tina goes through all final girls hazing process, which is finding all of your friends and loved ones dead. You come back, and you're like, oh my God, everyone's dead. I can't believe it. Well, you should believe it, because you've seen it all in your fucking head. You've watched them.
That is a great point.
She can't believe it, but has watched every one of them.
She knew it was all happening. Yeah.
Well, she finds Jason and starts using telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
First to tie him up with tree roots.
Yep.
And he falls into a puddle and then gets electrocuted.
And then she makes Jason's mask get really, really tight.
Yep.
Until it breaks.
Yep.
His face goes from just like Ari Lerman's regular face, which is pretty gross, to just full out disgusting. Ari Lerman's regular. His face in this is
so disgusting.
It's not human.
No, not even close. Also, she hides in a cabin and he coffin babies through the window like a fucking spider monkey.
Which he tried to do before.
He jumps through the window, arms up, knees up. Oh, God. Well, she collapses on the porch. Oh, she collapses the porch on Jason and then runs into these two other guys. What were their names? Nick and Melissa? Melissa was one of them.
Melissa got the axe to the face.
Yeah, and Nick's, yeah. So Nick and Melissa, who are kind of the love interest, and then this... Melissa's just a fucking nightmare in this movie. She's the worst piece of shit of all time. But she takes an axe to the face. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No blood. Off screen, it's fucking fantastic. Everything you want in a Jason movie, right?
Yeah.
Telekinesis, a lot of it.
Yeah.
No sex, no gore. It's perfect. It's the perfect installment.
I just still can't believe somebody was just like, yeah, this is what's happening.
This is going to work, man. She also home alones Jason by swinging paint cans that somehow cause him to fall through the stairs.
And he just pops right back out.
He walks out through the wall. Like, They reveal his dog face. This is dog face Jason, this yes. one. And then, you know, because it's worked so many times before, she hangs him with a wire. Why would you think that was going to work? You've electrocuted him.
Why wouldn't
him.
You just keep using your telekinetic powers to, like, subdue him or, like, rip his arms off?
Do something permanent besides just, like, let's hang him up. She grabs nails, shoots them through him, does nothing, go figure. Then she sprays.
This whole scene is just nothing happening to him.
Yeah.
Him falling through things.
Yeah. She sprays gas on him like a fucking fire hose and then turns on the furnace to make a ring of fire around Jason before she blasts him with it, lighting his ass up. They run. Her and Nick get out of the house. The house starts burning. They get out, and the house explodes like a nuclear bomb fucking landed on it. And fun fact, Jason is still alive. And somehow on the pier, by the way.
Yeah.
Because they're on the pier being like, it's over. And then Jason's just like, hello.
I wish he said it like that. First time he speaks to the whole series.
Hello. He's on the pier. And you want to talk about how this ends?
Do I have to? So
this ending, I'd totally forgotten about, by the way.
I did too.
And it sucks.
I've seen it multiple times.
So fucking bad. They're standing on the pier about to get killed by Jason.
Yes. And she somehow telekinetically revives her dead father.
Who's still on the bottom of a lake.
Who also has chains for some reason. Because he jumped.
Oh, yeah. He has Jason chains too. Because yeah. Is it this one where he's walking around with the chain on his neck? Is this the first one out of the ocean? Or no, that was the last one.
No, this is
oh no, this is the first yeah. one from being submerged. Okay, so yeah, Jason's been walking around with a chain around his neck the entire fucking movie. Grandpage Jackson. And the dad also has chains now.
And she telekinetically resurrects the dad, who comes up, subdues Jason, and pulls him into the water.
Which, by the way, there's no even sign that she is like, please, Dad, come help. Like, no, they're just standing there. It just yeah. happened. He just pops up. You don't know she's doing anything. You have no idea. Truly, you don't know why he's up. Really. I mean, you know it's her telekinetic powers. You know it's her telekinetic powers. But really, you have no idea why Dad's there. And there's not even, like, a wink. There's not even, like, a...
He gives like a thumbs up.
Not even like anything. He's just not even an acknowledgement. He just grabs Jason. No,
it's what happens at the end of the first couple with Jason coming out of the right. water, except now it's the dad and she's doing it and it's stupid. Why is he still down there?
She passes out.
Yeah, he's back to the depths of Crystal Lake.
I guess. And they load her up in the hospital in the fucking ambulance and there's a broken Jason mask and in the lawn. Just got exploded, and that's it.
Can you hear the
far
away?
Yeah. Now, I wonder if people are going to be upset with how briefly we kind of like skimmed over that, but like
that was brief.
What's there to talk about?
I feel like we were talking forever.
Maybe we were. 16 fucking kills.
How long is this episode?
So 30 minutes, I guess.
Jeez.
So we're going to try and call Paul now to get his take on part 7.
Yo.
Hey.
What?
What's up?
Nothing.
What are you doing?
Trying to watch the Three Stooges movie.
Hey, Joe.
Is it Mr. Aguilera?
Yeah, of course it is.
What's going on?
So I have 3% battery life. This better be good.
What Friday the 13th movie is your favorite?
It's obviously New Blood Part 7.
Paul, is that true? Can't be true, Paul.
Dude, tell Sean I'm going to come over there and break his legs.
telekinesis. When's the last time you've seen it?
This past year.
What, really?
Watches it once.
You watch it frequently?
No.
So why'd you watch it this past year?
Because I didn't watch the best one, so I watched The New Blood, and then I watched Part 3.
Wait, so you rank New Blood and Part 3 as the best two?
No.
Okay.
Well, what do you rank as the best ones?
3 and 4.
But you just said, all right. You just said that New Blood was your favorite.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
All right, so I'll try this again. What is your ranking of the Friday the 13th movies?
Probably 3, 4, 1, 7.
3, 4, 1, 7. No love for part 2.
Paperback Jason is the worst.
That's not
I'm
true.
With them. I don't really like 2.
It's terrible.
Sean.
It couldn't be more boring.
I mean, 7's not in the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. What about part 5?
Is that fake Jason?
No one.
Yes.
Dude, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, so you think that New Blood is better than fake Jason?
Oh, 100%.
New Blood.
Dude, he has that giant chainsaw-looking thing.
Why does he have that in the middle of the woods?
First of all, I don't know. Second of all, he kills about 10 people in 10 minutes with 10 different weapons.
We were just talking about that. It's incredible.
That's why it's great.
Where is he? It's not great. Paul, the ending where... Well, this is pretty much our episode.
It's fine.
The ending where the dad comes back.
Dude, that's
great writing.
It's not great writing. Have you seen part 6 lately?
No.
Okay. I feel like everyone misses part
6. Please watch part 6 and tell me what you think.
Okay.
Where do you rank Manhattan?
Probably 8. No.
He's trying to kill.
Jason X is probably better than that.
Yeah.
It's probably the second worst next to Jason Goes to Hell.
So Jason Goes to Hell is the worst?
It's terrible.
No, I'm in agreement. I am 100% in agreement.
I'm in agreement.
I rank Jason X above him, although I haven't rewatched it yet.
I'm pretty sure the first 10 minutes of Jason X, I was like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome.
I think that's what everyone did.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh God, what have we done?
Yeah, now we're recording it now, and I was telling Sean how you've told me New Blood is your favorite. And it just can't possibly be true.
Oh, man. Dude, we got bigger issues. The new Three Stooges movie is not on Netflix.
Wait.
Oh, Spyhard is.
Wait, the one with the guy from Will and Grace?
Yes.
It's almost like 10 years old.
I don't know if you call it new.
Yeah, but it is the newest one.
Well, you said new, not newest.
Yeah, new.
Yeah. Why are you guys trying to watch that?
All right, yo, I gotta go. I gotta go watch Spyhard.
All right. Tell Gary. All right,
bye.
Tell Gary Richard Petty for life.
Well,
16 kills?
Yeah, 16 kills. And guess what? It doesn't get better from here, guys. As a matter of fact,
I'm dreading talking about these.
As a matter of fact, it gets way fucking worse. It gets way fucking worse. Manhattan is a movie two weeks ago I said I liked.
You've been saying that to me for so long, and every time, like, you don't. I know you don't.
You are right. I do not like it. I don't think it's as bad as people...
Are you sure?
No, I keep... Listen, by the end of this, I will confirm that I hate it. Because, first of all, it's an hour and 40 minutes.
It's the longest one.
No Jason movie has gone past an hour 30.
Yeah.
Because guess what? There's no reason for it. And guess what? This one has... less reason to be that long.
Most of it takes place on a boat.
On a fucking boat.
On a boat.
Jason Takes Boat should be the name of this.
It should.
Because they spend 30 minutes in Manhattan.
At least when they're on Camp Crystal Lake, there's woods they can run through. There's places they can hide. He has to travel. They're confined on a fucking boat. He should be having a field day.
This movie makes the least amount of sense, I think, out of any of them.
Did you know that the marketing campaign had Jason Voorhees slashing through the I Heart New York sticker? Yeah. And they filed a complaint.
Board of Tourism got pissed and made him change it.
Honestly, that would probably help them.
At that point, I know, but I think they were trying to move away from Everyone Dies in New York.
Oh, yeah, that is true. That is true.
Come to New York.
Jason's the least of your worries.
Come to New York, where the movie depicts everyone on the streets as being violent punks. And... the only guy taking care of them is another mass murderer. They went on Arsenio for this one. directed by Rob Heaton, produced by Randy Cheveldale.
Did Kane Hodder go in makeup?
Yes.
He had the mask on.
Arsenio Hall interviewed a man that didn't speak. It's a full interview with Jason, who's not talking.
Honestly, that makes me like Kane Hodder. Not breaking character, just sitting there.
Released July 28th, 1989. $5 million budget, $14 million. The series low.
Yeah, they're struggling now.
Yeah, dude, very much. 4.6 on IMDb.
That is way too high.
That is disgusting. Like, even if I liked it, I would not rate it 2.5 stars out of 5.
No. It's honestly maybe 1.5 if you, like, are just a sucker for Jason movies. Yeah.
8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fucking fair.
That makes sense. That makes a lot more sense. All right. So this is the biggest stretch to date. Again, you could have just had Jason move to a fucking suburb, walk.
Yep.
Catch a fucking ride.
Yep.
Well, this one opens up on a yacht on Camp Crystal Lake, you know, where people bring their yachts. We get to hear the tale of Jason all over again, of course. And we also see Jason.
Do people even bring yachts on lakes?
No.
Is that impossible to do?
I don't know. Maybe giant ones. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. And why would they do it on Camp Crystal Lake?
They would. They would bring your yacht to Mixville. Be such an asshole.
So Jason's been chained by dad, I guess. By yes. Tina's dad.
Yes.
He's been chained to a broken pier. It also happens to be on top of the world's largest extension cable, yes. Which is now running through Camp Crystal Lake for some reason. That might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's never been there before. Like, so somebody had to have laid it.
Yeah.
And they would have seen Jason.
And the yacht's anchor is just yanking on it for some reason and rips it, causing Jason to be electrocuted.
Yep.
Which, of course, as we know, electricity brings him to life, much like Universal Monsters. This is a Universal Monster film. Jason gets his mask because, luckily, the guy on the yacht brought one.
Yes.
He didn't have a mask at the end of it.
Right. This guy has a fake hockey mask and a prop knife. Why?
Guess as good as me. Good news too, Jason has a harpoon gun because, you know, yachting. Everyone's favorite hobby on a yacht, on a lake.
Is harpooning for harpooning, whales?
Harpooning large sea creatures. We haven't seen a fucking fish underwater.
Not a single aquatic animal.
Maybe because they don't remove the corpses and it's just poisoned the lake. Yeah, so anyway. Common tool on the lake. He kills both of them with the fucking harpoon gun. Also, he kills one of them with the tiniest spear I've ever seen in my life. It's like...
I know.
And you could tell when he's pushing it through the girl, even if though it's a prop, it's like bending under the strength of his hand. Like, it's like, oh shit, like I can't... If I push harder, the thing's gonna fucking break.
Yeah.
Looks like shit.
It does. It does.
Just like the rest. Well, after that, we meet
the old SS Lazarus.
And it's a cruise ship or a large ship.
Yeah.
It's basically a cruise ship. There's so many fucking rooms on it. And it's going to New York City from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a five-minute ride.
Yeah.
It's for the graduates of a high school. Mm-hmm. It's high school's graduated. They're going. A teacher is dropping off this weirdo, Rennie, who wants to be the next Stephen King.
Yep.
So that's cool.
The other guy, the chaperone's niece.
The chaperone's niece, he's her legal guardian, which we find out right now. I don't know why this other teacher's dropping her off.
I don't know why either.
And he's like, why did you bring her?
He's pissed. He's so mad.
He's like, she shouldn't be here. I don't even know why. Why shouldn't she have been there? Was there a reason? I'm sure there was.
I think he's just so like
fucking mad at us.
Who is?
Everyone.
Who? Fuck him. I don't care about the plot. This. All he. First of all, he's still a legal guardian, so he can just be like, "You're not going."
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like,
why did you?
No.
There's nothing I can do.
I think he's just trying to protect her.
I guess. The boat captain. I think no. Oh no. It's because of the whole swimming lessons thing, which is the most mind-boggling concept.
She has a fear of water.
Yeah. So he's like, why would you do this?
Yeah. I mean, why would she want to do this?
Why is Jason after these two?
I don't know.
I can tell you why, but it doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to tell you, even though this is the reveal at the end, the legal guardian, her uncle.
Yeah.
Pushed her in a lake to teach her how to swim.
Right.
While she was doing that, she nearly drowned and saw Jason underwater.
Right, right, right. Years ago.
Right. And now Jason wants to kill her. Also, not only does he want to kill her, Jason has tracked her down on the ocean. How did he get to the ocean? They claim through a river.
Right, right. As such happens.
But even better.
He's been tied to the bottom of Cramp Crystal Lake until just now. Why does he know that's her?
Why also does he just hop up on the anchor chain and climb up the fucking boat? How does he know? How does he know who she is?
That's what I'm saying. He's been on the bottom of
the
lake.
What is this? This is a fucking nightmare. That's what this is.
This is almost as stupid as Jaws 4, where... Where Jaws is hunting the family that killed his mom.
I wrote, yes, it is. It is just as stupid as that. And I wrote, this movie is so fucking stupid. So I don't think I like this.
I mean, if you can name one thing you like about it.
I like that there's a guy named Sean in it.
That's what you like about it?
Sean is the captain's son and the love interest of Rennie. His dad's the captain of the boat, and he's not living up to his father's footsteps of being the captain of a cruise ship that goes from New Jersey to New York. Must make a fortune. Must make a fucking fortune. Well, we get our first kill pretty quick. It also makes so little sense. I was baffled. Because there's a girl playing guitar on the deck of the ship.
Yes.
It's like she's a punk.
Right.
That's fine. Live your life. I don't know why you need that for an hour boat trip, but that's fine.
Shooting a music video.
Oh, correct. Yeah. That's smart. Well, then she doesn't. And then she goes to the fucking engine room, which I'm sure is blocked off. But she gets there and is just playing in the hot 2,000-degree steam room, like the fucking engine boiler room. Where Jason grabs the guitar, kills her with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fucking stupid. Also, the girl, Rennie, is seeing a kid drowning. But it's not Ari.
No.
It's a normal kid.
I wonder if they didn't have the rights to the first one.
It's a normal kid that is getting uglier as the movie goes on.
Yeah.
So I guess Ari is like the lake-soaked Jason.
Okay.
But that means Jason was a normal kid when he drowned?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Why is she seeing him? Oh, because she saw him underwater.
I guess.
But why is she seeing him now?
Why is she seeing... But she's also... She saw him underwater. No. No.
I'm with you.
She saw adult Jason underwater.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So why is she seeing the kid?
I have
why
no
is she
idea.
Having these visions?
I have no idea. Why does toxic waste turn Jason into a child at the end of the movie?
Why is there just barrels of toxic waste?
There's not barrels. The guy's like, oh, yeah, the sewers fill with toxic waste every night at midnight. Why does that happen? Yeah, I can't see why New York City was so mad. Paints such a bright picture of this city. Oh, boy. There's a crazy Ralph here, too. He's like a deckhand. It's just like, Jason's back.
That guy, I thought he was the same guy from part one all these years because they look almost identical.
Anyway, we don't really need to go into the plot of this, do we? No. It's such bullshit. It's such bullshit.
What's your favorite kill?
I'll have to pull them up. Hang on.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay. None of them?
No. I do have a favorite kill. It's not because it's a good one, but it's because some guy decides to box Jason.
Oh, well, yeah.
And goes like three rounds with him without Jason retaliating, and then he gets out of breath, and Jason does the old killer clown uppercut and just pops his head right off.
The cleanest cut.
And then it's like, is it in the taxi? That's like a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The hanger?
Or no, that's a different guy's head.
Is it some, okay. Well, anyways.
His head goes in a trash can.
That's
and the,
right.
And
that's
the lid
right.
falls.
That's right. Regardless, he punches a guy's head off.
Yeah. Well, let's not get there yet because you have to spend an hour on this fucking cruise ship.
I thought we weren't doing
real-time cruise. Captain gets his throat slit.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jason uses the wrong side of the machete, so it looks fucking terrible. They try to alert the Coast Guard, but of course, this Jason, you know.
In the documentary, did anybody like this movie? Did anyone speak
Everyone
highly of it?
Says, like, basically, of all the shitty movies, they're basically like, there's a lot of fans like it, but a lot of fans don't like it. It's like, no one likes it. Well, no, you're right. Some do, but they're fucking idiots. Where am I? Oh. They try to capture... It doesn't matter. They try to get... None of this matters. That's the weird part about these movies. Like, literally nothing matters. Jason kills the captain. Then he kills the first mate with another giant pole, which he finds. So many poles. Why does he have so many poles? They try to call the Coast Guard, but Jason destroys the communication system somehow.
Yep.
He's liked to do that in the last three movies. Loved cutting phone wires. As if he matters to him.
Imagine he's just scared of the police.
Oh, I don't want to get arrested.
I can't go back. The three strikes law.
Crazy Ralph is the one that tells us he went down the river and got on board the ship.
Yeah.
How does he know that?
I don't know.
This movie takes so much time on the fucking boat. It's unbelievable.
It does.
Jason arms themselves with weapons.
Jason honestly disposes of almost half the people at the school.
Basically everyone.
And then all that's left can fit onto one raft.
Yeah.
Like one life.
Yeah. Boat. And they arm themselves with an arsenal of weapons and he just fucks them up.
Which, why is there so many on
I don't boat? Know. There's guns. There's rifles.
High school boat.
Well, the ship starts to sink. There's a breach. And they escape on a dinghy. We got Rennie, our lead female, Julius, the boxer,
mm-hmm.
our two teachers, one that is her legal guardian, and the other one who's just a fucking asshole.
And Sean.
And they start paddling. It's not motor operated. I mistakenly said it was motor operated in the first episode of Serial Killer.
Did somebody correct you?
No.
Thank God. Man, I'd be so fucking mad.
Yeah. We are an hour in to the movie and we have not gotten to Manhattan.
Yeah. I mean,
we show up there right now and it's insane. Now, these idiots, they're paddling and Jason is right behind them. Do you think Jason swam or walked?
Oh, you think you might have walked at the bottom? Well, now I want to think that. I was always under the impression he swam after him.
I feel like he's a walker. But, I mean, it's Kane Hodder's Jason, so he could have just fucking backstroked. Most theatrical Jason of all time. Well, they get to...
And, like, you can't even be like, oh, he was hanging on to a part of the boat.
No, he wasn't.
They dock and they all get off.
And then he shows up
like
yeah.
5 minutes after.
Well, they finally make it to Manhattan. And of course, as happens in New York City, they're immediately jumped, mugged, and they take the girl to rape her. Again, don't know why New York City was so mad at the portrayal of this film. Why would they even take students there?
At that time, I have no clue. There's nothing good that would come from that.
Well, good thing Jason shows up. He kills the would-be rapist because he has no agenda whatsoever except... I don't know what his agenda is. He kills a would-be rapist. One with a syringe. which he punches through his back. So he really didn't need the syringe because it's this 2 inches long. He really just punched a hole through a guy. That's really what killed him. And the other one,
did we talk about before the hot rock that he just punches through?
Oh, we didn't, dude. We didn't talk about that. And we didn't talk about one thing that, like, for some reason just stood out in my head, which is the fact that on this cruise ship, students were boxing each other.
Yeah, it's like a fight club.
It was a fight club in the basement.
Yeah.
Blows my fucking mind. It blew my mind. And then all I could imagine was being on a cruise ship, like an adult cruise, and like checking it out and then like going into a room and just seeing adults boxing each other, like unsupervised. Like, hey, you want to just box? Can you imagine?
No, it fucking ridiculous.
Students, 17-year-old kids boxing each other. Can you fucking imagine that? We were super like chaperoned on our trip to Washington, D.C. in like 7th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could imagine is just like the fight club that would have ensued with that. Like it basically did kind of. At least for me. Well, very notable scene, the boxing scene, which you already talked about.
Yeah.
But it is crazy how long he boxes him for.
I mean, he goes a while.
And how long Jason just takes the blows.
Stands, keeps backing up.
A hockey mask. Fucking break your hand. they all get locked up in a cop car. Jason kills the cop. That's the head they see. They see the head of the cop.
That's right.
They start driving it. And it is the shittiest slow motion. It's almost as if they didn't know slow motion existed because they're just freeze framing, like frame. Right. It's so fucking weird. She's about to run over Jason, but
she has a vision.
It's not Jason.
And the car blows up.
They crash the car and it blows up. Literally, you had a getaway.
Yeah.
You could have escaped, and instead you crashed a car into a wall 4 feet away. Fucking kidding me. This is when you get the flashback to Camp Crystal Lake where he tries to drown her. He's like, you don't want to end up drowning like the Voorhees boy, do you? And also starts telling her that Jason is still at the bottom of the Imagine telling that to a kid now.
And actually having that be true.
And also, why is she so bent out of shape about that? Like, she's like, you caused this. Like, I know that sucks. Could be traumatic.
Sure.
But like.
But she was fine.
You're fine. Why does any of this matter?
It doesn't. Don't understand. That is the short of it.
Okay. Well, now they're in like this like graffiti tunnel. Rennie and Sean bounce, and we see Jason approach the teacher. Teacher runs into a building and gets thrown out of a fucking window by Jason. Somehow, Jason approaches him. He splits, runs up the building, and then somehow, Jason is in the building with him and throws him out a window.
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus Christ. They get an absurd chase scene. Jason's just hunting them around New York City, pushing passengers in subway cars until he gets thrown onto the third rail and electrocuted. You think it's the end. It plays the end music. It's playing the sweet music. They're in Times Square enjoying life.
Yeah.
It's over. Nope, Jason's there.
He's back, Times Square.
Just a little toasty, but still somehow soaking wet. Guy is so fucking wet. This is when he shows the punks his... Remember, by the way, this is a Jason that was hiding in a barn for an entire movie because he didn't want anyone to see his face. And these punks are like, hey, pal. And then he takes off his mask.
He's like...
To scare him.
Again, his face just keeps getting worse and worse looking.
And they run away. God damn it. So our remaining kids, Sean and Rennie, they run into a sewer. They meet a guy who's like, hey, you better get out of here. This place fills up with toxic waste every night. Not even like, hey, you better get out of here. It's a fucking sewer. Why are you here?
Dude, imagine toxic waste on the sewers in your city.
And they are walking through the sewer and Jason jumps them from the side. Jason is ahead of them and pounces on them. She throws a bucket of acid in Jason's face. It's the most absurd face I've ever seen in my life. It's fucking out of control. The kids are climbing the ladder to escape. Jason's trying to grab them.
But then the sewers flood.
And he also hears kid Jason talking to him.
I know.
Jason hears himself talking to him. He's like, what? And then the sewers fill with toxic waste, melting Jason.
Just think about everything you just said, like in that one sentence.
It's perfect.
Do you still like this?
No.
Thank you.
And then also, while they're on the ladder, the toxic waste somehow turns to water, and there's a child on the ground. Jason's gone, and there's a child.
So why is he back and Jason goes to hell? Someone fucking riddle me that.
19 kills in this one. It's abysmal.
It is like a pinnacle of poor filmmaking.
Yeah.
And then if Jason goes to hell, which
somehow worse.
Somehow outdoes it. It honestly somehow outdoes it.
And it's somehow more boring than the hour and 40 minutes Jason takes boat.
It is so fucking uneventful. It's just filled with blue electricity and nothingness.
And nothing. And not Jason.
Nope.
All right. So release.
Some guy eats a fuck.
So they waited a long time for this one, too. That's what cracks me up about this. So Manhattan is 89. I mean, I guess it's not that long.
4 years.
Probably their longest break, though.
Definitely.
So they wait 4 years, and they're like, you know what, man? People miss Jason, so let's make a movie with no Jason in it. Why bring it back? Why bring it back?
I don't understand.
August 13th, 1990.
This made more money than the previous one.
Yeah, and this is probably the first one we remember being released. I remember it being released.
The title Jason Goes to Hell is honestly very important in like my childhood.
For sure. It came out a day before my 8th birthday. And I remember even at that time I was like
on Hot Topic.
I knew. And there was part of me that was like, I want to see it for my birthday. And my parents obviously did not. And thankfully.
Again, the title and even the cover, very integral.
Yeah. And there's just, the cover, dude. I remember that so vividly. $3 million budget, $15.9 million take at the box office. So a little bit of a bounce back there, but not a lot. 4.3 on IMDb.
That is insane.
24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's triple the percentage of.
Yeah.
The prior one.
Why?
That is mind-boggling. I mean, don't get me wrong. The prior one deserves the 8%.
Yeah.
But this deserves like a 0. Maybe a 1% because it has the Freddy Krueger.
Now, I didn't fully understand this film, what was happening in it. I mean, I knew what was happening, but I didn't. In the documentary, the guy says, the idea is Jason is Hell's assassin. And moves from person to person. Okay. So it's evil incarnate.
He's never done that before.
And why is Jason, again, this is what I said earlier. Why is Jason evil? He was a kid that fucking drowned.
Right. I mean.
And was extracting revenge. But now all of a sudden he's like Satan's little helper.
Well, he's died a bunch of times. I guess you could, God's probably like, listen, man, this isn't working out.
So the main focus I want to focus on is this opening scene, which is absurd.
Well, this...
I don't have no... Do you have a lot to say about this?
I have nothing to say about it. There's no indication that the prior film didn't exist, right? Like, this is the same timeline as the other ones.
Yeah, it's absolutely...
Because it starts with them luring him, FBI agents, luring him into a trap.
Right. So it opens with a woman going to Camp Crystal Lake. She goes in the cabin. Jason appears. It looks like a weird setup. Like from the beginning, you're like, what is this? Like, what is happening? You don't really understand, but there's a girl there. So I guess it works. Jason chases her through the woods, then into a field where spotlights hit. Girl dives, fucking kung fu fighting dive flip dive, and then a million SWAT agents come out of nowhere, start unloading bullets in Jason, start throwing grenades at Jason. They airstrike Jason.
Yes, they do.
Would have killed everyone.
Jason was turned into a boy at the end of the last film. So why is
by acid or melted? Either way you take it.
Either way, he should not be here in this position.
And he looks ridiculous.
He does.
He is murdered, and his heart is still beating, but then stops beating.
Yes. They send his remains to a morgue, to which...
And they know, like, Jason is supernatural. That's why they do this.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they just burn everything?
They would, or, you know, donate it to, like, CERN or some science place to be like, what's going on here? But instead, they send it to a regular morgue where some guy eats his heart.
The morgue attendant eats his fucking heart. And then those things from Scientology enter his body. Metachlorians? No, it's like Star Wars, whatever. These little glowing things go into his body. I guess it's Jason.
It is.
Because now the guy's Jason. And he kills the other morgue attendant. He kills two security guards, one of which is Kane Hodder with his shit mullet.
Yep.
But the weird thing is, when you see him in the mirror, you see Jason.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't.
Now we get a new story built into the movie, like it's meta. Not meta, but it's just a new story. Are you fucking kidding me with this? His name is Creighton Duke. He's a serial killer bounty hunter.
Yes.
Just call the police. How about that? What do you need a serial killer bounty hunter for?
And what does he discover?
Well, he knows everything already.
That is true.
Literally, this is the first time we know Jason doing this. And the bounty hunter's on TV being like, Jason takes different forms.
He has literally never done this before. Also, this guy is
no one knows yet either.
No one knows this except for asshole Duke. And Duke's also like, only people who have the bloodline of the Voorhees can stop him.
Does he say that?
Yeah. Is that even true?
Well, that's funny because later on, a guy asks him and he's like, you got to pay up if you want to know how to beat Jason. So he's already said it on the air. Then he breaks this guy's hands, breaks his fucking fingers. And then he's like, yeah, you have to be a Voorhees to kill him. This movie sucks.
But why does he know that? Why does he know you have to be a Voorhees?
He's the only guy that knows that. I don't know.
How would you know what kills somebody if you've never killed them before?
I don't know.
Does that even begin to make an iota of sense?
No.
Hey, the only way to kill this thing is to do this. But, you know, I've never tried it. But I know, trust me.
And it's not like based on... You're pissing me off. You're pissing me off. Also, Jason as the morgue attendant is now like dextering people, capturing them and tying them up and torturing them before then spitting a giant snake into their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And taking them over.
Yeah.
That happens.
It does.
And Jason is now entering other people's bodies. He's entering a cop body. And he keeps trying to enter other people's bodies. I don't understand why. Because he's trying to get into a Voorhees body. I mean, he doesn't have to switch, though, then. Whatever. Joe, this is exhausting. This is so fucking exhausting. We're like halfway through my notes on this because nothing happens, man. It's the most uneventful thing. It's just people being like, that guy's Jason, and everyone being like, Jason's dead. And
then Creighton Duke being like, no, this is what he does.
Yes. Now what he does. Well, where do we go from here? I'm at the end of my notes. That's good. I don't even know. So he's chasing down the two remaining Voorheeses. He kills one of them. It was the mother of this girl. So he's killed Diana. I don't know why, because he needed a Voorhees. Or he's also trying to eliminate them.
Yeah. Why? Dude, he's never done this before.
Creighton Yeah. Creighton Duke also tells us he can be reborn through a Voorhees, or they can kill him. So he is simultaneously trying to murder all the Voorheeses and then be born unto one. And this girl, Jessica, has a baby. So I guess he wants to be a baby again.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Fucking regular boss baby. Remember that Jason movie with no Jason in it besides Five?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah. Who thought this? It's all exhausting.
Because Five did so well.
At this point, we're 1 hour and 10 minutes into it, and nothing has happened. Besides Jason's transferred bodies, he's killed a few people. There's somehow 23 kills in this.
Which is ridiculous. I don't understand how.
I think he just, like, knocked a bunch of people out.
Because at least in part five, there's a high kill count, but, like, it's pretty rapid fire.
Yeah.
You can see it.
It's fucking stupid. There is one cool kill in this, and it's the waitress who gets elbowed in the mouth. And her mouth is, like, puckered up. But it's not by Jason, so it takes it away. It takes away from it.
I know.
It's another guy. It's
a person.
It's just a person.
Like, why would they have the super?
Why do I give a shit?
Right.
Like, Jason was so big and menacing. I don't know, man. Well, good news is Jason's back somehow. I guess he used the Voorhees power or something. He kills Clayton. They stab Jason with a sword.
Yeah.
But because it's a Voorhees, the Metachlorians leave his body. And he goes to hell. These hands pop out of the ground and they grab Jason.
Yeah. Jason's heart turns into a, like a demon baby.
It does. It does. And it's dispatched pretty quickly.
Well, it goes up Diana's vagina.
Oh, is that how Jason's reborn? This is asinine.
Yeah.
Giant dirt hands pull Jason under. Also trying to pull Jessica under. But it only pulls Jason. Pulls Jason into the ground. And then the scene that we watched as kids a billion times. I don't know why we thought it was cool. The movie fucking sucks. Jason's hand, or Freddy Krueger's hand, pops out of the ground and grabs Jason's mask.
And pulls it to the ground. Into the ground. Why?
Played by Kane Hodder.
Oh, Freddy was played by Kane Hodder?
Yeah, that's why he can claim he played every guy.
Every guy.
He played every slasher. He played Michael in something.
Did he really?
I think he was like a stunt double.
He did not.
Oh, he didn't? So why does he claim he
played? He's an asshole. He played Leatherface in part three.
Oh, maybe that's what he's talking about. Yeah, he played Leatherface, Freddy, and Jason.
Listen, I won't be impressed until he plays Leprechaun.
I won't be impressed until he actually plays Freddy and doesn't just stick a hand out of dirt.
Oh, man, that's
funny. And don't worry, you'll get Freddy versus Jason
we 20 years later. We blew through this episode. Yeah, I know. Do you remember the hype going into
Freddy versus Jason? I just don't have anything to say about this. Sorry to cut you off. I just don't have anything to say about Jason Goes to Hell. It was one of the least fun movies we've ever discussed. It's one of the least fun movies we ever watched. And coming off of...
And when you do it back to back to back...
7, yeah. 8, and 9, I can't do it, man. I'm broken. I'm fucking broken. I'm excited for space.
I'm excited for space too. I really am.
I really am. I really am. Because this was so bad. It's impossible to get worse.
Yeah.
You ended it on a movie with no Jason in it and hell babies and people talking a lot.
And then a Freddy Krueger glove. Which so why?
Much dialogue.
Why? I needed to do like research. Like why was the crossover such a big deal?
Because they finally had the rights. I couldn't tell you the exact details of New Line ended up with both properties finally.
Okay.
Why they couldn't make the movie sooner, I have no idea. But they were like, let's end it with the glove. They were allowed to do that. Like, that got the okay, and New Line was like, that's fucking great. But then it took, like, 45 years to make Freddy versus Jason. It's so fucking bizarre to me that it took them that long.
Well, I do remember, like...
Well, maybe it was because this thing was such a piece of shit that they were like, you know what? We got to let that fucking simmer down.
I think you're right, but they made Jason X.
Yeah, they made, right. But that was a few years later, too, no?
That was 2001.
Yeah.
So it's almost 10 years after. Yeah. Freddy vs. Jason was 2003, but
after the success of X,
I'm trying to look up like on the fly here development.
So X is written out of history according to Freddy vs. Jason. Then correct?
Yes.
Oh well, not necessarily. Nope, not necessarily. Because Freddy X takes place years in the future.
You're right. You are right. I'm starting to get not excited for Jason X. Influenced by, this is directly from the wiki page, influenced by fans' desire for a crossover film depicting a fight between the two icons, New Line and Paramount tried to make a Freddy vs. Jason movie in 1987. The two studios failed to agree on a story. Then Jason Takes Manhattan pretty much fucked everything up.
Yes.
Because it was so shitty.
I didn't know.
It performed so poorly. Sean Cunningham tried to reacquire the rights for Friday the 13th.
Oh.
So he could release it on New Line.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I guess they've been wanting to do the crossover for years.
Like who came up with that? I mean, I guess it was just like...
Just fans, I guess.
A lot of people just like, yeah. Well, that's what you get for listening to fans. That's why we never listen to these fucking...
Did you know that they were supposed to have Pinhead at the end of Freddy vs. Jason?
Yeah, dude. But again, I don't know how much of this shit is just like some guy in an office being like, let's throw Pinhead in it. And then being like, oh yeah, well, we can't. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, because I do remember like not the early stages of the internet, but the early stages of me using the internet in high school.
Yeah.
Like there was the rumblings of Freddy vs. Jason, yes, how it might happen. Constantly. It was like big hype. But then like things would come up on like the early message boards and be like Leprechaun versus Michael Myers. Dude, that can't be real.
I remember that to a T. And there was always Ash versus Jason versus Freddy. Yeah. Which would probably make the most sense. It wouldn't. I don't know what I'm saying. I've lost my mind.
Yeah,
I've lost my mind. I've lost my mind. Fucking Freddy sucks.
I mean, after part four, they all do. All
right. Let's end this. So next week, the madness ends. X, Freddy versus Jason, and the remake. And I think X and the remake are both available. And that's what we'll be covering the most.
Yeah, we'll clear this over.
We've got some good ones coming up. Dolly Dearest, Iced, Killjoy, in honor of Killjoy. In memory of Killjoy, the musician.
He died like a year
later. Silver, we got a werewolf double feature, Silver Bullet and Cursed coming up.
I actually am kind of excited for that.
I am too. Jeepers Creepers.
I like that they fired James Gunn,
yeah,
but released Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
Got actually molested or raped kids.
Yeah. I know. Don't tell me about it. Return of the Living Dead 2 is coming up.
What?
Return of the Living Dead 2.
We did that.
Return of the Living Dead 3.
Okay.
Rave to the Grave.
Is that 3?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was 4.
I don't know.
It's most definitely 4. All of them.
What did we watch?
We'll just watch all of them.
Who knows? What am I doing? It's so tired. I'm so tired.
I am
tired. I'm exhausted. All right, guys. So thank you all so much. Live events, September 21st. Orlando, October 6th in Salem. Please come out. Please come out. Buy your tickets for Salem Horror Fest to salemhorrorfest.com. Buy them in advance. Let's sell that bitch out. And facebook.com/IHateHorror. You can find all the information there. IHateHorror.com. I'm on Snapchat. And I'm not on Snapchat. I mean, I am.
and Instagram at IAHor. I don't use Snapchat.
I'm at Jovi for, wait, yeah, no. I'm at Boogdish1985 and Horror Show Joe.
That's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
That's it, guys.